We're on the line now. I have Brian McLaughlin, Head of Communications with the Inner City Helping the Homeless. Hello, good afternoon, Brian.
Afternoon, all. How are you?
Okay, school time starting back. Can you just say that over the past 10 days, 300 back to schools packs have been distributed? Is this a latest thing that's come up now, or is that an annual?
Yeah, so it's something that's come through. We actually have a grant in place, a European feed grant through the Department of Social Protection. So they get in touch with Food Cloud, who then gave us the supplies basically to make up 300 back to school packs. But the biggest, the shock for us now was that we could have got rid of three or four times the amount. The amount of people that were in need of support with the kids going back to school was really shocked us. You know, if we'd had 1,000 of them, we could have easily got rid of them.
I was going to say that, actually. What's contained in the packs, and how do people apply for them in the first place?
So it'd be a backpack with the likes of, if it was primary school, it'd be pencils, colouring pencils, like little copy books and so forth. For older secondary school, it'd be similar, except notebooks and pens and the likes of protractors and mathematical sets as well. So it's just the basics, but to give the kids, you know, having the right supplies going back to school and not being worried about not having the correct stuff.
Yeah, isn't there a leeway there as well, though, for people to go to, I don't know, relieving officer or the social welfare and ask for help anyway, and maybe with uniforms and stuff like that? Is that still available?
That's still available in some cases. Now, I have heard, we have had feedback from people saying that people have been struggling to access those supports. Now, I do know that the back-to-school packs were distributed right across the country, but I know from our perspective, from a Dublin perspective, even when we had put out posts saying that, you know, the 300 were gone, we were still having people contacting us looking for support. So I think, as I say, it might be something we look at on a bigger scale next year, because there's no question the demand, unfortunately, is there.
You're talking about 250,000 children, really, aren't you, in reality?
Yes, I mean, the Social Justice Ireland would tell you that there's 750,000 people living under the poverty line, and 250,000 of those are children. So, you know, the likes of school books and copies, these things all cost money, and we're not in a cheap society anymore. So, you know, even giving that little bit of support can make that bit of a difference, because, you know, children, especially children in homeless emergency accommodation, you know, for the summer, you know, they might be stuck in a hotel or a B&B for the majority of the summer. They might not have had the opportunity to see their school friends if the hotel was in the opposite side of the city from where they go to school, for example. So, you know, kids have had a hard enough summer in some cases, but at least give them the support to have the right materials going back to start the school year again.
Indeed, because it's, as you say, it's hard enough. Were they starter packs for kids, or is there a range, you know, an age group that was contained in the packs?
Yeah, so they were basically kind of split up between, I suppose you could say, primary school and secondary school. So there would have been ones from, you know, maybe a four-year-old up to maybe 8 or 9, then 8 to 12, and then the secondary school packs as well. So basically we were given all the tools for the packs and the backpacks, and then our teams in our storage unit went through every one and basically made all the packs up themselves from there then.
Okay. Can you remind me again how people had to apply for them? And how you sort of distributed in that sense?
Yeah, so the way we worked it was we reached out to a lot of the emergency accommodation units, through the family hubs, the hotels, the bed and breakfast, to let them know that this was available. We reached out to some of the people that we would already be giving the likes of food parcels to and case management support. So we had a kind of a base already ourselves of people to reach out to. But as I say, the biggest shock for us was they were gone not only so fast, but the amount of people that have come to us subsequently as well saying that they could do with a similar support. So I think it's something that's required, and it's good to see that this is being provided, but maybe a bit more cohesiveness next year is to know exactly how many we're getting or how many are available across the country, and to make sure that the right people are getting them, you know, and that children that need them are getting this support.
Okay, and it was just done through your organisation, your Inner City Help the Homeless. It wasn't done through any other agency, was it, as well?
I believe it was, but I mean, we did have a couple of contacts from other people that had gone to their caseworkers in Focus Ireland, for example, and were told it was unavailable. So I'm not sure what quantity were distributed to the other organisations or how they distributed them, but there was cases where people still wanted them and were told there was none left.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking that is because, I mean, it's provided by, as part of, do you pronounce it, FEED, the European grant?
That's correct, yeah. So we have a FEED European grant, you know, it's done via Food Cloud. So every month we will get a huge supply of non-perishable food. So we create then food parcels for families and individuals with the likes of, say, cereal, rice, pasta sauce, your basic supplies like jams and things like that. So tea, coffee, things just to keep them enough groceries for a week in essence. And that's where this back to school pack came through as well.
Mm-hmm. You're on the ground there, Brian, just as a subject of homelessness. Is it getting any better at all? It doesn't seem to be, listening and reading the papers.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, we're in a position now where last week we had our highest ever total counted by our outreach teams in one night, with 238 people being assisted by our teams in one night. As you know, there's a huge amount of tents popping up around the place as well. So we actually held a visual protest outside Dublin City Council last Thursday morning, just to highlight the fact that, you know, number one, as we've been saying all along, if every single person that slept out, or not to use the term rough, but I don't like that term, but yes, if they slept rough, if all of those people actually wanted a bed through services, we're criminally under-resourced. There's nowhere near enough beds available in the system. On the flip side then, you have the people that have availed of a bed before but have had a bad experience through being robbed or safety, you know, issues or drug issues, whatever it might be. And a lot of those people would rather take their chances out in the street as well. So it's a multi-tiered problem insofar as there are people out there that can't access a bed, but then there's people that actually don't want to access a bed because of bad experiences. And that's something that needs to be looked at as well.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking of it, and you were talking about the tents there. That's a new phenomenon that's come up in the past couple of weeks and or months. And how do people have to find their own locations, and who supplies the tents? Do they get them up themselves?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, they would do it themselves. They'd find the location that they feel secure in, and they would put them up. Like, I mean, there's a lot of tents, as you know, that are visible around the canal and around the city centre, but there's also quite a number of tents in all the different parks on the outskirts of the city as well, where people feel that they're off the beaten track a little bit, and, you know, they're safer if they're out kind of in Fairview Park or wherever it might be. So the Phoenix Park would be another example of that. So, you know, they might get the tent from, in some cases they purchased them themselves. In other cases, they might get it from a charity if they've had some donated to them. So, you know, we will get tents donated here and there, and we would always have people that were kind of on the lookout for one.
Okay. Just looking at a few different places, I mean, I know a lot of people go on about it, but empty buildings and all that, looking around at. Any word on some of them? Especially, like, if you think about America, like, a lot of factories were used, and still are, and some of them quite high priced to an extent for renting. Anything like that is changing in Ireland, in Dublin especially?
No, Dublin City Council in particular is pretty reluctant to enforce the compulsory purchase orders, the CPOs. Now, there are so many empty buildings, both residential and commercial, available around the city, that the council should be implementing these compulsory purchase orders. In fact, it's Loud County Council that have led the way on that. They've the most properties that they've actually compulsory purchased, and that's getting people straight out of homelessness into their own home. So I really don't understand the logic of Dublin City Council and why they're so reluctant, particularly as there's so many empty buildings around Dublin City.
Mm-hmm. It's a strange one, all right, it is. It definitely is strange. Because I'm assuming that a lot of these people are sitting on land, are being taxed as well. That legislation was brought in, so that's come into force.
Yeah, the problem with having there, Noel, is, I mean, a lot of the price of the land, the plot of land itself, is going up so much every year that, you know, it's almost worth these small fines. I mean, for an average kind of site or an average house, forget the value of the actual home, the value of the land is going up about 12% a year.
Right.
So a lot of these people that are buying, particularly the likes of the foreign vulture funds and the investment portfolios, if you want to call them that, I mean, a lot of those are buying up property here, and they're happy to sit on it and take any fines that come their way, because they know that, you know, long term it's going to be profitable for them. But I think we've kind of rolled out the red carpet a little bit too much for some of these companies to come in and say we can buy a land bank of property in Ireland to make a fortune off it, and I think that's completely wrong.
And it's a pity you didn't put in stages as well, that, like, maybe if it's lined there for a year, it's your tax so much. If it's going into its second year, it doubles, or the same as they do with the toll, if it's not paid.
What I'd like to see now is, you know, when it comes to the likes of compulsory purchase orders, and we've heard some talk out of the government in the past, and we don't want to be targeting the likes of, say, a family home where the matriarch or the patriarch has gone into a nursing home and, you know, the family still own the property. I mean, those are not the types of people that we should be enforcing CPOs on. it is the likes of these companies that are coming in and buying up land in bulk and just sitting on it for as long as possible until they can maximise the profit.
And there's a lot there's a lot of big properties lying around that wouldn't be family homes, but are just lying idle as well.
Of course, absolutely.
Okay, so as you say, things not getting any better. People want to make, obviously you rely a lot on donations and stuff like that. So if people can listening to you now and can help in any way, Brian, what should they do?
Absolutely, no. People can donate via our website, which is www.ichh.ie. People can donate money there, but we also take donations of secondhand clothes, you know, toiletries and food, sleeping bags, you know, essential supplies that our teams bring out at night. So if anyone wants to donate anything like that, they can contact us at info@ichh.ie. Or we're also available on social media, on Facebook at Inner City Help and Homeless, Twitter and Instagram at ICHH Dublin. So even if someone wants to volunteer with us, you know, we are predominantly volunteer run, so we're always on the lookout for volunteers. So if anyone wants to help out, please by all means get in touch with us.
Okay, Brian, thank you very much for talking to us here.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.